In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us.
He is among us.
The gospel lesson today opens or presents to us a contrast. On the one hand, we have Jesus of Nazareth, who ascended the mountaintop, and he's there praying. And the whole scene depicts one of calmness, stability, tranquility. On the other hand, down from the mountain, we find the apostles upon the Sea of Tiberias, and they're experiencing just the opposite of calm and stability and tranquility. They're experiencing turbulence, violence, uncertainties. What is more, and this would catch your ear when you hear these words, as St. Matthew writes them, he introduces the gospel lesson with, he made the apostles get into that boat. As if Matthew's saying that our Lord is arranging this situation for the apostles, this perilous situation. And then Matthew describes what the apostles are experiencing on this sea. There's a buffeting of waves. There are violent winds. And it's happening in the midst of darkness. It's the fourth watch of the night. So it's very, very dark at that time of the night. These are the primal forces of nature that in the ancient world were seen to have some kind of supernatural power. Or certainly for mankind, they were seen as sometimes bringing death. Something that man can't control. Can't control the violent winds. You can't really control the water and what it does. You can't control waves. You really can't stop the darkness in a way. And so these primal forces and what we see going on the Sea of Tiberias is a threat to ordered human living. Water, all the more, was a cause of chaos. And in that chaos was the cause of destruction. That's how Genesis begins. Genesis begins with depicting a world of chaos. There's just water and it's going everywhere. There's no order to it. And in that lack of order, in that chaos, there's a destruction. Nothing can live in the chaotic waters moving everywhere. And so today, too, you have this water and it's causing chaos to the point that it could cause destruction. The apostles are upon this sea and they're being tossed about on this water. And if you've ever been on a boat away, far away from land, you know how helpless you really are on a boat in the water. You're really at the mercy of the water and what it's doing. And it could, in certain cases, especially back then, be a cause of death. Into this perilous situation, the Lord appears walking upon these turbulent waters, walking upon and over this chaos. And all the more, he seems to be unfazed by the violent winds. What's our Lord demonstrating in this event? But that he has sovereignty over these primordial forces of nature. Walking on the water's under his dominion. The challenge for the apostles is to make that act of faith that God, that this one that they see, has true dominion over nature, over the primordial forces of nature, and even over chaos itself. Remember, for some of the people, possibly maybe even the Jews sometimes have fallen in this trap, although they're supposed to believe in the one true God, in a way, wind and water and darkness had a mythical, supernatural sense to it. And so by Christ walking on the water, showing that he even has dominion over this mythical force that you might believe may exist in the water or in the wind or in the darkness. So Jesus the Christ made the disciples get into the boat in order that the apostles' faith could be tested. Yes. Yes, a lesson for all of us. God puts us in the boat sometimes so that you and I will be tested. And the whole reason is to learn to make the act of faith. The gospel passage nevertheless goes a step further and shows what the human person is capable of doing should he or she, you and me, trust in Jesus the Christ. Peter was able to walk on the water. He was unfazed by the wind as long as he kept his gaze on Christ. He was unfazed by the chaos. The minute he took his eyes off of Christ, then the fear set in. Then he noticed the chaos around him, and the chaos began to envelop him. And such is it with life. When we take our eyes off of Christ, whatever that fear of ours is, it begins to envelop us and take hold of us, and it will, in time, destroy us. God not only delivers the human person from that which can destroy him or her, what's really going on here for the person of faith? God is restoring the human person to his rightful place of dominion over creation. In the beginning, God gave Adam, and then when he created Eve, as well to Eve then, all of creation, and he said, you have lordship over this, as I have lordship over it, because you are made in my image. But because of the fall of Adam and Eve, their first sin did what? Now it brought chaos back into the world, and we find the human person finds himself or herself into a situation where we are afraid of nature again, and nature can attack us. It doesn't always follow us or obey us as it was in the beginning. The biblical account teaches you and me, however, this, that there is no force. There is no power, and let's put it in some psychological terms, there is no addiction or no bad habit in our lives that with the power of God and faith in God, you and I and the human person cannot overcome. A little story. When I was in the monastery in July on my retreat, or June, I was talking to Father Maximus, and we were discussing about something of this nature, and he made a comment to me. I didn't know this, but he was aware of this. He said that in the beginning, when Alcoholics Anonymous began back in the 1920s, 1930s, the first steps is to believe in God, and in the word was actually God. And of course, AA does not keep actual records because that's not permitted, but people would talk about, but you could ascertain from discussion with people who were in AA how many people were actually able to overcome their alcoholism. The recidivism rate was very low in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and into the early 60s. I didn't realize this, but in the 1960s and 1970s, many AA groups began to drop the word God and exchange it with the word higher power or supreme being. And actually, the numbers have shown that the recidivism rate is not as strong as it was back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s when the program actually used the name God. There is no power, no force, no addiction, and no bad habit that cannot be overcome with a person of faith in God. In fact, as evidence in today's gospel passage shows, God will make you and me enter into perilous and chaotic situations. And it's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. He does that for a reason. That you and I learn how to trust more in the power of God and live. The question is, why does God allow evil in the world? And this is why. That mankind learn to relinquish their control and let God be God. Sometimes God will wait until there seems to be no reason to hope, no reason to hold on anymore, when all human efforts and means have been exhausted. When evil seems to have won, sin seems to be victorious, and death seems to be triumphant. When extreme fear, extreme hopelessness, extreme discouragement take hold of your heart, your mind, your being, and we call that, our fathers in the desert called it, and St. John on the cross called it the dark night. But my friends, it's only in the darkness that you'll be able to see then finally the light. When one is confident and self-assured, that person cannot hear or see God. To the self-reliant and the proud, God is not seen or heard. To the self-righteous, God is silent. It's only the one who suffers that can experience the divine physician. It's only the sinner who can actually experience the mercy, merciful love of God. It's only the brokenhearted that will know the God of consolation. It's only when you and I die that we'll come to know the resurrection. God does sometimes make you and me get in the boat and to sail on those murky waters of turbulence, suffering, anguish, chaos, and peril. But it's always with good reason. So you and I may be able to hear and to take to heart the divine words that our God, that the God-man spoke to Peter in today's gospel passage. Take heart. I am, have no fear. Our English says it is I, and it's wrong. The actual Greek is I am, and it's important to hear those words because those are the same words God spoke to Moses in the burning bush. And on that day when God spoke to Moses, he said, I am. Began the deliverance of his people from their pain, from their suffering, from their slavery, and from the place of death. Christ is among us.